Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples, drive out the spirit, but they could not." Jesus says, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet and stood up. And he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciple asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive him out?" He replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer." Father, I thank you so much. In these next few moments, Father, I ask that you would tune our ear to your voice so that we might hear you ever so clearly. Father, would you turn our hearts toward you so that we might experience the fullness that you have for us? It's to that end that I ask that you would stand in my body, think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords those things you'd have us say, know, and do. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. Have your way in fellowship today. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a story that for those of us who may have grown up in church like I did, you've probably heard something about. This story is about a father who has a son, clearly, very evidentially, the spirit, this evil spirit, Satan, has had his hand on him and abused him over and over again. He says, there have been times where the spirit has literally taken him and thrown him into fire and thrown him into water trying to kill him. He brought him to Jesus and his disciples were there, and the disciples were trying to take the spirit out, trying to cast the spirit out, but they fell miserably. And then Jesus showed up. It's kind of like when you're doing something you ain't got no business and your mama walk in the room. You know that look? It's the funniest look in the world. You just happen to walk in. It's not even like you knew something was going on. You just walk in. My kids be like, what happened? What? Just walking in. Oh, okay. I wasn't doing anything.
Oh, okay, well, what was you doing? You know what I mean? It just gives it away. So you almost get that sense. As soon as Jesus comes in, the spirits start tripping. Like, it start convulsion and all this. And then this dialogue happens. And usually with this text, I've got limited time this morning, so I won't walk through this whole passage like I want to. But usually they would talk about how the disciples tried and couldn't, and Jesus did. And this would normally become a sermon about the significance and the power and the effectiveness of prayer, because Jesus says at the close, some things only come by prayer. So I don't want to talk about that this morning, though. I want to use my time, and I don't want to talk about that. We'll come back to this passage another time. This morning, I want to talk about this Father. This Father in this dialogue he has with Jesus. The Father says to Jesus, he says, I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't help him. So I've already tried, and I've already seen failure. And I don't know if you've had a troubled child, and I don't know what it's like to have a father who's got a child that's so consumed with an evil spirit, but I'd imagine he's tired. I'd imagine he's tried all he could. I'd imagine he's down to his last hope. He brings his boy. His boy that's been victimized and abused by this evil spirit. And he brings him to Jesus. And he tells Jesus everything that the evil spirit has been doing. And Jesus says, how long has this been going on? I love it because you got to know that whenever Jesus asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. Y'all do know that, right? You know he know how long the boy had it. He's doing that so we can see the significance of the problem. He wanted us to know how long this had been happening. Says all his life, since he was a child. The problem just got bigger, didn't it? It's not some easy fix. This isn't because of a weekend binge he had. No. He's been like this all his life. It shows the Father's desperation and shows the Father's fatigue. And just in case you got any question about his Father's fatigue, he exposes it fully in his next statement. He says, I brought him to the disciples. I brought him to you, Jesus. Your disciples couldn't do it. He says, if you can do anything, save my boy. I love Jesus. Jesus, man, Jesus comes back. Jesus comes back with so much. I just love it. Jesus says, if. Did you catch that? Jesus, because, I mean, no, you'd be like, man, it's a bad situation. Dad had a rough time, man. This is not the time for me to play my sovereignty card. You know what I mean? This isn't the time for me to play my, you know, let me just get a guy passed. He says, if I can. No. If you believe, all things are possible. So it's not a matter of if I can do it. It's a matter of if you can trust me to be God in this situation. If you can trust me to be who I said I am. It's not about my ability to provide. It's about your ability to trust my provision. And the man's next statement is where I want to zero in, and I just want to talk for a few moments. The man's following statement, he says this. He says, I believe. But help me overcome my unbelief. That statement is so loaded. It's really paradoxical. He really contradicts himself. He says, I believe you, but there are really some areas where I don't believe you, so I need your help in those areas. For the last few weeks, if you hadn't been here, I've been talking about how the kingdom of God is coming through us, how the Lord wants to use each and every one of us to do great things for his kingdom. And last week we talked about temptation and the danger of temptation and how sin shows up in your life. And my hope and my passion is that we will be Christians who grow in our life of worship, that we wouldn't be stagnant in our relationship with God, but that you would grow. And I don't care where you are today. I don't care how far you are today. I'm just
just saying, I don't want you to be perfect, but I just want you to be able to look back over the last 365 days and say, man, I've grown. I'm not all that I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. I've grown in my life of worship. And as I think about us growing, not into great performing Christians, but growing into people who are used by the God, by the glory of God, to bring forth his kingdom causes, his love, his hope, his justice, his peace, his provision, to bring those things to the world. I want us to grow into those things. And as I think about the thing that keeps us from growth, the things that keeps us from this pivot, I think about this man and this position that he finds himself in because he has doubt, he has questions, he has concern, and he had the courage to tell the truth about his doubt. The spirits that are destroying his son are real, and he knows they're real. He ain't got to believe in it. He's seen them. He knows it's real, and he knows the danger there is. He knows the evil. He knows the consequence. He knows what if I keep like this, it's going to destroy my son, and if it destroys my son, it's going to destroy me. So I can't live with this evil. I can't deal with this evil. So I need some help. I'm desperate because if I stay here, it's going to destroy me. So I brought him to you, Jesus, but let's be honest. Honest, when Jesus asked him the question, although I believe in this and I know this is real, I'm still struggling with you and your realness. I believe you, yes. But if I was to be honest, there are some areas where I don't believe. There are some areas where I'm just struggling. There are areas where I have doubt. And I'm stuck in this position because I can't stay here because I know this will kill me. And here you are, you're calling me to come here, and I want to come here, and I want to jump in with 2 feet, and I want to jump in and act like I just got it all together and I just know you're able. But if I'm going to be real, if I'm going to just tell the truth, I want to go here. It makes sense to go here, but there are doubts here. There are struggles here. There are insecurities. There are questions. There is fear here. Because following Jesus, we still got some ifs and some unbelief. And where Satan gets us, I think many of us are stuck right here, and we're trying to straddle this fence, and we'll never experience the fullness of the kingdom of God because our belief is really half-hearted. And that's not the problem. The problem isn't the unbelief. The problem is an indictment on your inability to believe wholeheartedly. That's not the indictment at all. The problem is you sit here in this place of struggle and doubt, and you sit in silence. Doubt. You have failure. When you see all that God is, and you see the beauty, you see the opportunity, you step out, but you really struggle, you really doubt. And it's your silence and your doubt. It's what keeps you in this place of despair. What would it mean for us to be a place, for us to create a space, for us to be a family where we can be honest about our struggle? We can be honest about our questions. We can be honest about our doubt. God isn't intimidated by your doubt. God isn't intimidated by your questions. God isn't intimidated by your struggle. But you will be left unsatisfied if you keep your doubt, your struggle, your intimidation in silence. What does it mean for us to have the courage of this man to say, Lord, yes, I'm in a jacked up situation. Yes, this evil is overwhelming me. Yes, I can't stay where I am. But to be honest, I want to go where you are. And I believe that's why I brought him to you. But I've got some areas where there is still unbelief. Are you a God that can help me in my unbelief? See, we think that our doubt disqualifies us from God. We think that our questions and our struggle or our failure or our guilt somehow disqualifies us from God. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ will show up right there in your doubt. He'll show up in your unbelief. Some of you question the very existence of who he is. And he's saying, that's cool. I'll show up right up in that. You question his ability to really use you. You question his ability to really do something in your life. He says, that's cool. I'll show up right in that. Just tell the truth about where you are. See, the biggest struggle for us is not our doubt. It's not what we don't believe. It's our inability to tell the truth about where we are. We perpetuate and we create these religious environments that enable denial. What does it mean for you to tell the truth about your sin, tell the truth about your struggle, tell the truth about your failure, tell the truth about your doubt? Because until you are honest about what's really going on with you, you will never be able to move into the place where God is calling you, because God ain't going to move you forward in a lie. Do you understand what I'm saying? What does it mean for you to just be honest and say, I'm addicted to pornography. I have a problem. I'm consumed with low self-esteem. I'm so insecure, I spend most of my days envying and trying to see what other people are doing, and I set my life's rhythm according to what I see other people doing. I'm going through the motions because I know it's the right thing to do, and I'm worshiping because I know it's the right thing to do, but to be honest, I don't believe that God is that good. What does it mean for us to be honest? And what does it mean for us as a church and as a Christian community to not freak out over other people's honesty? As if somehow it makes God look bad. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, don't say that. No, you believe you're just working through. No. I don't believe. Like, don't try to sugarcoat me. No, I'm confused. I don't know who I am sexually. I don't know who I want. I don't know who I'm attracted to. You're just confused. No, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I like. I like everything. And what does it mean for us not to try to tie a beautiful theological bow on it, but to leave it broken, leave it messy, and say, God, this is a job for you. Hello? Because God ain't tripping. God ain't intimidated by your confused sexuality. He's not intimidated by what you're struggling with. He's not intimidated by your addiction. He's not intimidated by your envy or your gossip. He's not even intimidated by your doubt of him. He said, give it all. Give it to me. The good, the bad, the ugly. And I'll show up right there in it and I'll get in. The question isn't, is your mess too bad? The question is, can you handle God getting in your mess? Are you willing to have the courage to tell the truth about where you are? And are you willing to invite the God of all truth right into where you are? But we live in denial. We live in the lie. And God is saying, I want you to have the courage of this Father who's able to say, sure, I believe. That's why I came to church today. I believe something. You don't come here unless you believe something. I believe something. Even if I believe you ain't real, I believe something. I just want to see how unreal you are. I believe this girl is fine and she believe in you, so I believe I'm going to follow her. I don't care. You believe in something up in here. His Father says, I believe. But if I was to be real with you, Jesus, to your face, to Jesus' faith, he was like, if you can. Jesus was like, if? He was like, keep it real. Yeah, I believe, but I got some areas where I just don't believe. And he tells Jesus that to himself. And what does Jesus do? Does he rebuke him? Does he cast him out? Does he say, come back when you get more faith? See, this is where those faith preachers mess you up. Because you think, if I just have enough faith, then God would have just done it. If you just would have believed. No. Jesus is not saying that. He's not saying that. Because the dude still got a half glass. He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Jesus wasn't tripping about his unbelief. Jesus was moved by his honesty, his confession. And what did Jesus do? He didn't send him out and say, well, come back when the glass is full. Come back when you believe all of me. Go check my record. Go hear about what happened at that wedding. Why? Folks still drunk off that wedding. Y'all would have liked that wedding over here. Folks still tow up on that wine. I brought out that good. You still messed up. Go check my resume. No. He said to the man, nothing. But he put his hands in the man's issue and he brought healing to the man's problem. It's not about you having more faith. I know that's weird to even hear that in church. It's not about you having more faith. It's about you being honest about your faith you got and inviting God
and to your unbelief. Do y'all see that? So this morning, I want to just do just that. Every now and then, we want to create a rhythm in this place, in this space, for us to pause, not receive more information, not hear more sermons, but to create space for us to have moments of honesty and transparency with God. There's a sacred rhythm that's been practiced for thousands of years called confession. We live in a time now where we don't ever do it. We come to the table, we read the scriptures, but we don't provide space to give people an opportunity to tell the truth about what Satan is trying to use against them to destroy them. So I call this the outing Satan sermon. What would it mean for us as a congregation to take the next few moments and have a time of confession? Where we out Satan's plan that he would try to use against us to cause us to miss God's greatest glory in our life, his kingdom coming through us. What would it mean for you to say, I believe, but here's where I'm struggling? This isn't a time to tell your whole life story. This is an opportunity to say in a sentence, in a phrase, I doubt, I struggle with, Satan tries to take me out with, I need help with. And what you'll notice is we won't come and try to tie theological bows behind you. We won't come and say, oh, that's bad theology. Oh, don't say that. Oh, Lord, he's going to blood. Oh, Lord, Jesus. We're going to create a big old mess of truth. And then we're going to invite the God of all things, the God of all creation, to come into this mess and be God. So for the next few moments, I'm going to pray. Some brothers are going to come and they're going to pass around the mic. And when you're ready, stand to your feet and speak your confession. And let's invite the Spirit of the living God to minister to our hearts. In the balcony, on the floor, let's create space and let's have time for confession. Before we move, let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Spirit of the living God, I pray that you move, pray that you speak, pray that Satan would get no victory, that he would be exposed for the liar that he is. I pray that we would have the courage to tell the truth about our struggle, tell the truth about our doubts, tell the truth about our fears. Father, as we create an uncomfortable, messy space this morning, we know you specialize in showing up in our unbelief. So, Father, we pray like the man concerning his son. Lord, we believe. But would you meet us right here, right now, in our unbelief? In Jesus' name, amen. I confess that as much as I love the grace of God, as much as I preach the grace of God, I doubt that that grace of God is sufficient for me in my time of failure. When I'm successful, I love the grace of God. It's so good. But when I fail, the first thing I ask is, Lord, does this disqualify me? Am I now disqualified from being used for your glory? I doubt that his grace is good enough to carry me in my weakest and my lowest moments. That's my confession. Just stand, and at some point we'll make it around to you. If you're in the balcony, stand, and we'll have someone come up there as well.
I'm afraid that I'll be alone forever, that I won't ever be blessed with a mate because of the sins of my past and because of the things that I used to do before I came into Christ. I believe that I'm experiencing some form of karma, and that I'm just destined to be alone.
I struggle with being open to accepting whatever God's purpose is for my life. In my profession, where I'm supposed to work, what I'm supposed to be doing, I worry that even when he tells me what it is, that I won't have the strength to follow through.
My quickness to anger.
It's on.
My quickness to anger.
I believe, but I struggle with forgiveness of others.
Been struggling with depression. It's something new for me, but I've been very, very depressed, and I've been praying about it, and I know the Lord's working in my life.
I struggle with forgiveness, and I feel that Satan comes to me and tells me that to just push people out of my life, that I don't need them when I know that I do.
I struggle with resentment and letting go.
I struggle with whether God can handle discrimination and retaliation and harassment.
Like you, my friend, I struggle with depression and anxiety, and I have trouble forgiving people.
I struggle with my self-esteem, and I often doubt God's ability to redeem my brokenness.
Do we have an hour? I'm kidding. Well, I think one of my biggest struggles, I've always struggled with depression since I was about 11 or 12. And abandonment issues from two different fathers in my life. And it's rolled over into men that I've chosen. And going from one abusive relationship to another, and then moving on to a guy that I think is right for me because he's kind to me or good to me. And I think my biggest fear is that I'm going to be stuck in this cycle where I'm not going to ever find somebody for me that God has that's worthy, or that I'm not worthy enough to have a man of God, that Satan's just going to keep bringing me, you know, men that are going to abuse me or hold me down. So I guess I'm afraid of being alone.
I'm terrified of losing my family, and I really struggle with trusting in God and knowing that he'll take care of them regardless of what. And I can't trust people. It's a struggle.
I confess that I'm invested in what other people think of me more than pleasing God, and that addiction to pleasing other people sometimes leaves me with very little to give to the people I love the most.
the balcony.
I struggle with control and anger, and I doubt the unconditionality of God's love.
I believe, but I don't always believe that the God is good, seeing the kinds of things that have happened in my family and around the world even.
I struggle with trying to fix things on my own and not inviting the Lord in because I think these things are too small for him to handle.
I struggle with forgiving my mother for the pain that she continues to cause.
I struggle with my imperfections and loving me for me.
I believe, but I struggle with the fact that Christians have done a lot of wrong, and I guess forgiving people and knowing the fact that Christians have done a lot of wrong in the name of the Bible, and so it's hard for me to believe, but then also see all the things that Christians have done wrong.
My mother died 19 years ago when I was 18. And I'm still upset with God. Because I am upset, I don't trust people. I don't trust the church because I went to church every day from a child till 18, and no one was there. I believe, I just have questions. That's all.
I struggle with maintaining my faith and believing that I deserve God's love.
I struggle with my pride and convincing myself that I don't need other people. I have trouble being dependent on others when it's necessary.
It's hard to pick one thing, but growing up, I was always complimented on my kindness and my love for the people and always seeing the best in people, and it's a lot harder to do that now that I'm an adult. And I always felt like, of course God loved me as a kid. Of course, you know, because I was a loving person, and it's harder to feel that God loves me, or that it's hard to trust in that salvation when I make mistakes as an adult, and when I doubt, there is that fear there that I've just gone too far past his love and his grace and salvation. So I want to lay that down, and I want to trust him again completely.
I struggle with anger against the church herself, because so many churches preach grace but really don't practice it. And that's really hard for me. So I'm trying to remember to look not to Christians but to Christ. And that's hard too.
I struggle with believing God to heal things in our family and in me. I do believe, but some things just seem too big. They seem way too big, and I need help in my unbelief.
I am struggling with seeking employment, even though God provides financial support through my husband, but I still have a doubt.
What's up, Albert? I struggle being a man and at times with my sexuality.
I believe, but I doubt in that I am worthy and that I am valuable enough in the eyes of Christ and that I am truly a man worthy of someone and of his love.
I struggle sometimes waiting for God's timing. I know that all things come in his time, but sometimes I just want to get in there and mix the batter too.
Song says, we got one more? Go ahead.
I struggle with not getting involved in ministry, and I know God has called me, and I just keep putting it off.
I believe, but I really struggle with just knowing that I'm loved by God and loved by others.
I believe, but I doubt that God will ever be able to reach my family. It's really hard to have a strong faith in God when your family rejects it.
So uncomfortable. Arrogance, obsessive control, and insecurity.
Sometimes it's easy for me to not take God seriously. When I'm like with friends and having fun and stuff back home, it's really easy to just put him aside.
Yeah.
Prejudging, just being open.
Recently, God called my daughter and I to step out of the boat. And we saw a miracle, and I'm struggling with not believing that he will finish what he started, especially as it concerns my children. So it's like, I don't know, I stepped out of the boat, and I just have this picture that I'm halfway in the water, and I'm not really clear about moving forward from there.
I struggle in dealing with my past and trusting God's ability to redeem me from that.
I've had the privilege of sharing how much someone is loved and they're blessed and they're worthy and they're worth the world to God, but frankly, I struggle with knowing that I'm loved and blessed and worth his death on the cross.
Regina, in the back, there in the corner.
I'm struggling with not believing in God's ability, but recently I saw a good friend of mine and his wife died of cancer. And we were praying really hard, and I literally watched her die. And I just struggle with if God did not, because I believe he can, but if he didn't do that, then why would he do some of the things that I'm asking and believing him to do? So, yeah, that was really hard for me, and that's really, it's stretching my faith, and it's been difficult.
I believe, but I struggle with knowing that God can have an impact on the people in my life who are really struggling with addiction heavily. I have watched them deteriorate, and I have a hard time knowing that at some point God will intervene with them.
I struggle with believing that God can handle all the problems that I see in the world today. And I'm in fear. And I always say that God has this, but there's a big side of me that's really afraid. And as for myself, I'm also afraid of being alone and of financial fears.
I struggle a lot on being in family with different religions, but being in church almost every weekend and see their actions, it really makes me not believe, even though I have a lot of faith in God. And sometimes, like you said, I mean, I stay in my silence, being more direct with God and just by my actions help other people. And 2 years ago, I was in Panama teaching kids, orphans, and we'll see just the ability that I have, I think, to make so many kids, like, you know, with no parents, no food. I mean, they're helping and just sharing moments with them, and me bringing so much in 2 weeks, laugh. And some of the kids, even like before I was leaving, they were like, oh, I wish you could be my dad. You know, it just breaks my heart. And I wish, you know, I can have opportunity here, make changes in kids, like, you know, by the I guess the talent that I have, I mean, in teaching and sharing those memories with kids. I mean, you know, I would like to be part of, you know, a place like this, or where I can have the chance, opportunity to bring my talent and share moments with, you know, helping kids or whatever you have, you know, places to go and share the moment and share my talent.
I struggle with insecurities and also trying to trust God and just trying to do everything myself, thinking that I can do it and then realizing that I can't.
I struggle to remember that my identity is in Christ and Christ alone, and that God is my only audience, and just to kind of let the social circles not guide me.
I struggle with finding a local church body that really is invested in the local community and in poverty and in the poor, like in a really grassroots level, like in there, and it's very hard to find that.
I struggle with the fear of living an apathetic life, and that God is not capable of doing big things in my life than just the norm.
I put him in a box. All I see is limits. And it's keeping me from him and his will. Because I only think he can go so far.
I struggle with being okay with God healing me spiritually and not physically.
Last one right here.
I struggle with letting go of resentment and of the pain that people have caused me. So essentially, I just struggle with letting go of my anger and pain.
I struggle with people. I struggle with letting people in and understanding that people really care. So I struggle with letting God in.
Stand up. Stay standing right there. Stay standing. Stand up. Stand up for me. The lady right there sitting in front of you, would you stand up? Yes, ma'am. Would you just turn around and just hug her? Just hug her. Just hold her. Just hug her. Feel God's love. Just hold her. Hold her. Pass the discomfort to the place of rest
Allow someone who doesn't look like you, has no idea who you are, to love on you with the love of God. God said, this is for you and this is what I have for you. I've come to redeem and restore. Let me in. Trust me. I've come to bring healing and hope to your heart and to redeem and restore everything that Satan tried to destroy. And don't profile me, because when I show up, I won't look like you think I ought to look. Song says, all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to this fountain. As we conclude this service, I want to invite you, thirsty people, to come to a fountain that's overflowing. Here's the deal. Some of us are religiously uncomfortable because we want to go through and tie a bow on all of those unresolved things that we heard. And as you see people that said something that connect with you, feel free to go love on them, hug them. We're going to have our prayer team. If you want support, if you want, we've got a great counseling ministry. If you want to take the next step. But before we get into any programmatic element, you need to understand that Jesus loves you right where you are. Some of you are far off from God and you feel the distance, and you need to know his love is present and it's right there. So you're thirsty. You're desiring more. Come. We'll dismiss this service. I'm going to invite you to go by the table as we dismiss. And there at this table, you'll see the mess that he created for you to be invited in.